The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, we hear from the books of the Maccabees in our first reading. And if you heard me speak yesterday, I mentioned that the Maccabees are the story of how the faith in Israel was, they tried to destroy the faith in Israel by the Greek-speaking authorities who had preceded the Romans in the rule over that area. And it's filled with inspiring stories of people holding on to their faith in spite of the worst oppression. And one of those stories you hear today is the story of wise old Eliezer, the venerable scribe, the 90-year-old man, who is forced, like everyone else, to defy God's law, to eat pork in violation of God's law. But because of his stature among the people and his advanced years and his gray hairs, the Greek-speaking authorities pull Eliezer aside and they say, "You don't actually have to break God's law and eat the pork. We'll give you something else to eat, and you go ahead and eat that, something that doesn't violate God's law, and we'll just tell everybody that you violated God's law and ate the pork." But Eliezer has integrity. Not only would he rather die than violate God's law, he'd rather die than give people a bad example. He chooses integrity over appearances because he knows that God sees all things. And if there's a message for today, that's our message. You know, integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy. So let's talk about integrity and hypocrisy for just a moment. First of all, hypocrisy is not what most people think it is. As large numbers of people, especially religiously devout and observant people, the kind of people that show up at daily mass on a Tuesday, who call themselves hypocrites because they commit sins which they know are wrong, go to confession, try again, and then they go and they commit the same sin again. And they'll look at this behavior and they'll call themselves hypocrites. And that is not hypocrisy. That's moral weakness. There is a difference. Hypocrisy is not the same as moral weakness. You know, rest easy. Hypocrisy is deliberately putting on an act for everyone to see. It comes from the Greek word hypokrites, which literally means a stage actor. So they wanted Eliezer in the first reading to be a hypocrite, literally to put on a show for everyone to see while in fact he was doing something completely different. Now that's hypocrisy. I'll tell you a modern example. A few years ago in the news, a modern example of hypocrisy. Over in Europe somewhere, there was one of these global warming, climate change conferences, reduce carbon emissions conferences. And one of the leaders came to the carbon emission reducing conference in his motorcade with multiple limos and SUVs. And he took a bicycle out of the back of one of his SUVs and he rode the last mile on a bike to make it appear as though he went the whole way on a bike. Well, someone happened to capture it on camera. Now that's hypocrisy, right? Putting on an act. The opposite of hypocrisy, though, that's integrity. And that is having internal consistency. You know, the word integrity comes from the Latin word integer. And you remember from your mathematics, integer is a whole number. No fractions, no decimal points. It has internal consistency. It's whole and it's complete. We'd all like to have integrity. But how do you do it? How do you develop integrity? It grows as your lived awareness of God's presence grows. Because integrity is to recognize that you do all things in God's presence and you cannot fool him and he sees right through your heart. It comes as a result of a long protracted war against your own sin, selfishness, and worldliness. Because the fact of the matter is, day by day, we are all choosing things that are mutually exclusive and contradictory, and so we're not integral, we're rather a great big moral muddle. For example, you might want to lose weight, but you also want to eat cookies. And you try to do both. And you end up a muddle. You want to pray more. You're going to wake up early to do it. But you also want to sleep in. And you try to choose both. And you end up a muddle. Unless you're a saint, saints are the only ones that have true integrity, complete consistency. All of us are a moral muddle. And honestly, the way that we move forward in that, remember that God sees straight through you, straight through you. Just like the gospel here today. Jesus is passing through Jericho and he stops and he sees Zacchaeus, who's not only a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector, which means he has other tax collectors working for him. So as bad as a tax collector was, Zacchaeus was the arch enemy, the worst of all tax collectors. And everybody in the town thought he was the worst man in town. But Jesus takes one look at Zacchaeus and sees something that other people don't. And he calls him to a higher way. Remember that God sees all things. Man sees the appearance, but God sees to the heart. Now, that's a consolation when you're falsely accused, when people misunderstand you, and you can say, hey, God sees the truth of the matter. That's a consolation. It's also a terrible, terrible challenge because it means that you're accountable. Occasionally, I'll hear somebody boast, and they'll say, only God can judge me. God alone is my judge. A more thoughtful and prayerful person would say, yeah, I know, that's what I'm afraid of, right? God can see everything. There's no running, there's no hiding, there's no alibi. Keep that in mind to grow in integrity. It also helps to remember that other people see you as well. And that in everything we do, we are either bringing others up or taking others down. There's no such thing as neutral ground. The Romans used to have a saying, corruptio optimi pessima, which means the corruption of the best is the worst. Fortunately, the opposite is also true. The integrity of the best is the most beautiful, and it is a very, very beautiful thing to simply become who God created you to be. So ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. St. Rose Philippine Duchesne, pray for us.